to Teachers Off Duty. If you've never joined us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R. Rogers World on all social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in Fifth on all socials.
What? I'm Honest Teacher Vibes, Brie Richardson on all socials.
I panicked for a minute because I didn't know if we were still going in the same
order. That's why I looked over at you.
And then both of you just head snapped on the right, and I was like, okay, it's me.
The signal.
And we have...
And I'm Josh Monroe, at Miss Monroe and Nala on all social media
still
platforms.
Nala's not here. She could be at our feet being so sweet.
Did you change your username? Huh? Or has it always been?
It's always been Miss Monroe and Nala.
Oh, okay. But say no more.
Same. I had a private one, too, at first. And then.
Yeah.
Originally, I was like, maybe I'll have like a private Instagram and a public. No, I can't manage all the different things. It does not make sense.
No. But not the cameraman saying got the same problem.
Oh my god!
All right.
So we know that we are all younger teachers, you know, and something that we were talking about is how schools, when we were students and when we went to schools, is so much different than how it is now that we are teachers. You know, there are things that kids could not get away with back then that they definitely can now. There are things that teachers could get away with back then that they just can't now. And we feel like we hear from a lot of our veteran friends and our veteran followers that it's so different now. We definitely plan on having an episode in the future, like really highlighting veteran teachers. But today we really want to talk about how things are so different between when we were students, now that we're teaching, you know, in the actual classroom, at the head of the classroom.
I mean, it's just like night and day, in my opinion. Like, there are things that you see, like little threads trickle from like when you were in school to now that are still kind of similar. But the majority of things I feel like are so different than when we were in school. And I think, you know, the whole reason I became a teacher was because I had really good teachers in school, and I really enjoyed my elementary school experience, and I really enjoyed school in general. And I think I had like kind of rose-colored glasses when I was first going into teaching, because I had those like the memories from school when I was in elementary school and was like, this is what school should look like. And then going to schools where it did not look that way, I think kind of ruined it for me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to kind of have that realization that like, oh, it's been like 15 years. Things are probably different.
Right. I'm mad about. Like, I remember the thing I remember from school is that when it was pizza day, that pizza used to be busting. I don't know what kind of Hellman's mayonnaise pizza they serving now. No. But when I was in school, they had the pizza with the little stuffed crust, and it was fire.
Oh my god! Okay.
Stuffed crust.
That, it was
stuffed
fire.
Wow.
It
was
fire. So fancy. In my high school, I remember it was right before like Obama became president, and Michelle Obama did like her initiative to make schools healthier. Mm-hmm. And at my high school, you used to be able to get a whole freaking basket of French fries for lunch. And like a cup of cheese sauce, and that was your whole lunch. And then like, whoa, there were like these cheese stick packets, like, dang, you could get. I'm not kidding, that's what I ate for lunch, like a pack of French fries. And like, you couldn't do that now. They're like, you need a vegetable, you need a fruit, you need it. And I'm like, they could not do that now.
They don't even get them ketchup.
Like, here, a bucket of fries, go.
Yeah, they don't even, y'all don't even fry the French fries no more. I'm supposed to eat these stale cardboard tasting French fries without some ketchup. Disrespect.
Bree, you come on down to Omaha, because our school district, we ran out of that gross pizza, the square kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to this company called Big Daddy's for our pizza.
Big Daddy's pizza.
And it's good?
It do be bussin'.
Hey, I'm gonna pull up. It do be bussin'. I'm gonna pull up.
Oh, I love Josh.
Josh, that's my favorite line. That's my favorite thing. That was so unexpected.
Oh, I know. That was cream turkey day, though, at my school. We had like cream turkey day. It was literally just a pile of mashed potatoes and then gravy and turkey on top. Oh, and it, like, it sounds good? Gross, but yeah, everyone would lose their ever loving minds for cream turkey day. And then, like, they actually, a couple years ago, did like a cream turkey day fundraiser, so you could actually like get takeout cream turkey day.
That is
and
so
all the adults
strange.
Were like going
you
to
guys
get
don't have that?
Food.
No.
Yeah,
that must be a Midwestern thing.
Do you have cream turkey day?
Oh yeah,
okay.
that's our Thanksgiving meal.
Like, yeah, people lose their minds over cream
like
turkey day.
We had the cheese dippers. That was my favorite. Did you guys ever have those? It's like basically a not a mozzarella stick that's like fried, but like breaded and baked, and those were, that was the best lunch. But they changed them now too. Like, the cheese dippers they have now are not the same cheese dippers of when I was in school, because now they look gross. Like,
we had them pizza sticks too, boy. Them Johns will.
Because now they all have to be whole wheat too.
No. See, I know I've talked before about like my crazy APUSH teacher that made me want to teach social studies. And I know I've said before, like, he was insane. And thinking back to how fun our class was and some of the outlandish things he did, there is no way he would be able to get away with some of that stuff now. Gosh. Like, some things that he did to really make a lesson memorable, you know? Like, one example would be Peggy Eaton, who was a very scandalous historical figure. And like, one way he got us to remember this lady and like the impact she had on politics at the time was he passed around a Barbie doll that had no clothes on. And it literally was like this, it was so weird. And it was like, it didn't make sense.
Definitely get in trouble
time.
With that.
Oh, yeah. And I can't even imagine what would happen.
It was so strange.
No comment.
It was what? So strange that we were all like, what the heck is this? Like, is this even? And, but now that would never, like, almost everything that he did. Almost every single thing that he did would not be allowed.
That sounds kind of okay. Strange even
I'm
then.
It is strange.
We're going to have to talk about the connection later. Like, I'm what did he do in that lesson?
Yeah. And more so was like, it was such a wow factor of like, did he just do that? That like, I've never forgotten who Peggy Eaton was, you know? Like, because she was a very like scandalous woman, and it was
why are you teaching that anyway? Because she's scandalous and you passed out a naked Barbie. What's going on here?
It was more of the effect that she had on politics, because the wives of the other politicians in the White House tried to basically bully President Jackson to get rid of her and her husband, and he pretty much told them to F off, and it was like a whole thing in politics.
With a scandalous wife and naked Barbies. I bet she didn't even say F off.
So something I remember in school. No, one thing one of my teachers did that I really wanted to do when I became a teacher. So in second grade, my teacher, Mrs. Bergen, she had a giant claw foot bathtub in her classroom.
What?
And she filled it with pillows. And every day for like silent reading, she would pull like someone's popsicle stick, and you got to sit in the pillow bathtub.
That's awesome.
And read your book, right? So I was like, I'm like, hell yeah, I want a bathtub in my classroom. So like, I literally, like my first
you imagine
teaching,
walking in on open house night, you're like, wait.
I know.
Why should teacher like, got a bathtub in there?
Well, and then I.
We're going somewhere else.
My first year teaching, I was looking for one, and then like my school was like, yeah, you can't do that now, and I was like, why you gotta hate? But like, I realized, I'm like, that was like my first exposure to flexible seating, and like, I love flexible seating now, and I have all these different options.
That's
for kids.
Awesome.
But I still wish I could have a bathtub full of pillows. It was just the best thing. But I'm like, now I'm thinking about that, I'm like, the lice and the germs, yeah. And the nope.
You know what? I had a teacher when I was in seventh grade. You would never be able to do this now, but I had a teacher named Miss Burnett when I was in seventh grade. I'll never forget her. She used to let me stay after school with her, and she would take me home. And after, like, she would let me clean her chalkboards. I'm showing how old I am, but she had chalkboards.
What
and
are
she used to,
chalkboards?
So Google it, for goodness sake.
Goodness, how old are you?
But she, shut up, Josh. Lauren, Josh's wife, Lauren, if you're watching this, come get him.
Hey, I'm, just be clear, I'm 2 years older than you. So.
All right, make haste. So she used to let me clean her chalkboards, and like, being able to stay after school, like, school was kind of a safe place for me growing up. So being able to stay after school with her, like, while she was grading papers, and I'd like clean her chalkboard and like clean up stuff in the room, and she would like take me to get clothes and stuff, like,
she
if
was,
I
like,
needed stuff. Yeah, she was like a really like important figure in my life when I was in seventh grade.
Awesome.
And now we would never be able to do that. We can't hang out with our kids outside of school. We can't, like, they can't ride in our cars. And I mean, I understand the reasons why
right.
those things were put into place, but I just remember she was like a very impactful
Is that why you became a teacher? Was because of her?
So, not really. People ask me, like, all the time, like, if I became a teacher because of my teachers, but I kind of fell into teaching. Like, I was coaching girls basketball at the school that I was a teacher assistant at, but I graduated from college with a sports medicine degree,
And I didn't really want to do that. Most people graduate and they don't really do what they graduated with. And so I was a teacher assistant and I coached girls basketball. And I quit being a teacher assistant after I had Peyton. But then once Peyton got a little bit bigger, I went back to the school setting because I liked the school setting. So I started substitute teaching and they needed a long-term sub for a class. So they asked me to be a long-term sub and they were like, you already have a bachelor's degree. Might as well, you know, go ahead and do an alternate route program and become a teacher. But then once I started teaching, I remembered the effect that my teachers had on me, and especially when I got to high school. My high school teachers were phenomenal. And when I got to high school, like if me and my twin came to school like crying because our parents got into a fight before we came to school, or like if we didn't have something to eat the night before, or like whatever situation like we were dealing with like before we came to school, my teachers were like very like aware of like if we needed like a time, like if we needed to rest for a couple of minutes, if we need, like they were just very aware, and I wanted to be that for my students. But I didn't know that until like after I became a teacher.
And I think listening to the three of you tell those stories about moments that you remember in teaching can bring us back to what teaching should be and how it was back then, right? Because one way that I've noticed it's so different, we all have those memories of teachers. I've got Mr. Henry, who is my fourth grade teacher, and I talk about him all the time, any chance I get. Mm-hmm. I remember nothing he taught me except chess. Like, he would take time away from the lessons we were doing, and he taught our whole class how to play chess.
Wow.
But I remember nothing academically that he taught me. But I remember the way he made me feel. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went into teaching, right? But now we look at how it's different. And there's so much pressure put on us. Mm-hmm. Are your kids ready to pass this test? Mm-hmm. Are your kids ready to meet these standards? Are your kids this? Are your kids mm-hmm. that? And there's a whole lot less emphasis on, are we giving kids opportunities to remember our class through getting into a bathtub of pillows mm-hmm. or making sure that our needs are met mm-hmm. or yeah. lessons that are going to stick with them for life.
Yeah. I was just saying that to you. I'm like, I don't remember any of my teachers stressing about a test like that. Like, I remember taking yeah. tests, all of our tests, because we're old, we're on paper and pencil packets. Like, we didn't have my the computer tests. Right. Yeah, little Scantrons. But like, I don't ever remember my teachers, you know, emphasizing that I needed to pass a test or I needed to do well on something. Mm-hmm. Like, that was never, you know, something that was brought up. But now I feel like we just freaking cram it down their throats. Right. And it's like, it's exhausting. And right. it takes the fun out of it. And that's why we have this collection of kids that just freaking hate school, because that's all they hear all day is that you're not going to pass this test. You're not going to pass the test.
And they start when it's not even age appropriate. Right. My 6-year old should not be taking a test that is going to track him all the way through 12th
no.
grade.
No. Yeah. No. That's ridiculous.
And I get why he takes it. Like, we want to see his growth and stuff. Right. There should be no pressure put on him. There should be nothing.
I was a 6-year old.
Right, a reading test too. Like, you want my 6-year-old to sit down and take a reading test? Thankfully, it reads it to him, but it's an hour long. How do you expect my 6-year-old, who is already all over the place,
and I'm
to
grown sit there? And I can't right. see it?
No, that's literally. And
yeah,
it's not only that. It's not just like the expectations of students have changed. That they're the things that we expect of students have changed so much, but it's mm-hmm. also the expectation of how they behave has changed so much. Like, the way that students are able to get away with talking to teachers. Meh. One person sent me a story about how she literally had a kid just come up to her and say, "Hey, I know that this is my grade, but I think that my grade should be boosted." And she's like, "No." And she was pregnant at the time. And just trigger warning for anyone, like, he literally, she's, you're not going to raise my grade? Fine, I hope your baby dies. And she, like, just said that and walked away. Oh, and God. Literally reported to admin, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And that's just supposed to be expected to be fine and taken.
Listen, the way some of these kids talk to us and to their teachers,
and they mom and dad.
It's insane.
I would be dead and buried in the ground if I ever came home and my parents heard I was talking to teachers the way that some of these kids talk.
She snatched out my trachea. I wouldn't even be able to talk. She just snatched it right out of my throat.
Oh, my God.
Bree, you and I went to school. You were back in the 90s then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't know if my teacher should have done this, but I got smart with her one night, and I was scared to go home, too. She grabbed me by my ear. Right? Like,
we can't. Yeah, you can't do
kids,
that
but,
now.
But we were scared to be disrespectful.
Right. We had a respect for authority. Yeah. These kids,
we knew consequences
are
coming.
They ain't scared of nobody. We had a teacher at our school. She told a kid, they were like running down the hall or something. And she was like, hey, y'all need to stop running and playing. Like, go back to your class. Y'all, that girl turned around and told her, you need to get over yourself.
Wow.
Now, my kids don't talk to me like that, babe, because who you talking to, babe? Because I match energy. Yeah. So don't say that to me, because I might be using some sentence enhancers if you turn around
sentence
and tell me
enhancers.
To get over myself. So, but here's the thing about kids, too. They know who they can talk to like that and who they bet not talk to like that.
Yeah.
Because a kid would never look at me and say, you need to get over yourself. You got about 2.5 seconds, and I mean, that's all you got to step out my classroom before it turned into something it don't need to turn into. Because that is so disrespectful.
Right.
That you, as a 12-year-old, think you can turn around to a teacher, and when they're telling you to do something, and say, you need to get over yourself.
Right, and it's a rule that you're breaking.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, how you mad? If anybody should be mad, it should be me that I got to deal with y'all. How you mad? If you're going to be mad at anybody for your behavior, be mad at yourself. Why are you mad at me?
Like, and you know, all that disrespect has to come from somewhere. Like, it doesn't just manifest. It's learned from somewhere. I had someone else send me a story how during virtual learning, the teacher got an email from a parent saying that virtual learning gives their kid anxiety, and when the teacher addresses him online, it gives him anxiety. So she's not allowed to address him on like the Google Meet or the Zoom, whatever they use. She can only speak to him through email, and they have to be CC'd to make sure she's not telling him any crazy stuff.
Did she do that though? Like, they virtual learning was like required for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They let her do that?
Then like, what was else it were like they gonna
an
do?
IEP? Like, he had
no
like
IEP or anything. It just was a.
He just didn't have to come to virtual learning.
He went, but she couldn't talk to him on virtual learning. He kept everything.
Listen,
the amount of
things that these parents even get away with now. It's like, you know, they bat an eye and like want something done, and admin just bends the knee, like lets it happen.
Act
I'm like,
fool.
Like, it's just it's oh my god,
it's so disrespectful. It's disrespectful. And degrading to the teacher. I had a kid one time, I took her phone because I was tired of having her phone out. And I'm one of those teachers, again, I'm not going to take your phone the first time I see it. But, bro, if I had to tell you more than one time, I don't tell kids more than one time to do something. So if I tell you, put your phone up, I don't take phones the first time I see it. So if you got it out again, give it to me. So the girl, this was also a student who was constantly out of dress code. Because she said, my mom told me that whatever she dressed me in is what I'm wearing to school. Okay, well, you and your mom breaking the dress code. So when she sent you to school in it, you going to in-school suspension because you out of dress code. And clearly you and your mama don't know how to follow the rules. So I took the girl's phone, and because she wouldn't stop having it out, her mom came up to the school. It was like this whole thing. The girl gonna proceed to walk back down to my classroom and say, my mama, she had another kid's phone. She had another kid's phone in her hand. I don't know who, which child. I was so flabbergasted at the time, because when she left my class, she was in dress code that particular day. When she came back, I had already taken her phone. Not only was she had a phone in her hand, but she was out of dress code again. And I was so flabbergasted that I didn't even realize she had a phone until she walked away. Because when she came back, she was like, holding her phone, and she was like, my mama said, you need to give me my phone. My mama at the front office right now. She said, you need to give me my phone. Baby, your mama don't run nothing up here but her mouth. You are not admin. If an administrator come and tells me to give your mother your phone, that's a different thing. But don't you ever run up on me talking about what your mama said come, baby, because your mama don't work here. You disrespectful, your mama disrespectful, both of y'all get out my face. So people need to realize, like, teachers, it's only so much we gonna take. Because that was so disrespectful. That parent was disrespectful, that child was disrespectful. And I went straight to admin, and thank the Lord I had a good admin at the time, because the child lied and said something that was absolutely not true. So I had to go straight to admin, and I said, that parent is in the front office right now. I'm not going up there to talk to that parent, because it's not going to be pretty. Because the girl, the way that she came down there was aggressive. Like, her mama was yelling on the phone. Like, tell that B to give you your phone. And I'm like, I'm a teacher, but baby, I'm a person first. So the disrespect and the things that these people are able to get away with. And I went to admin because some admin, because they're scared of parents, will throw the teacher under the bus and run you over with it. And I'm like, before I even allow y'all to do that to me, I'm coming to you before you talk to that parent to tell you exactly what happened. Why do we as teachers have to be paranoid like that?
And like, we have to explain ourselves, like, you know, we're on trial or something.
Right. It's like, that's not right.
And it should not be like that. No. We are the adult.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. Your child is a child.
Something else that I thought really, like, I was thinking back to some of my memories from elementary school and, like, some things that I remembered. And, like, going along with behavior and stuff. So, like, you know, we do PBIS now, and I know you don't like it that much. And that's okay. That's okay. No, it's okay. But, like, there are things about it that are good and things that are bad. And I'm 100% I agree with that. Like, you know, but it's not free from consequence. Right. That's the most important thing. But, like, when, like, before that was really, you know, a thing in school, like, teachers, what they would reward us with and things. So, like, my 1 fourth grade teacher, she would, like, when our class was being really good, she would give me a quarter, or, like, somebody, she would give him a quarter and send him down to the extras room at the back of the cafeteria and have one of the extras, cafeteria ladies, give us a big bag of, like, pretzel rods, and everybody would get a pretzel rod in class. But I just remember that. I'm like,
it was a quarter?
A quarter. Like, but that she, like, you know, I don't know if she got, like, a teacher discount. We don't get those. But, like, she got
we
that.
Shut up.
That
ain't why we gotta pay full price.
But, like,
unless it's buy one, get one at Chipotle.
Right. That was one of them. And then, like, my third grade teacher, Mr. Pugliese, he used to do, like, the Golden Star student at the end of each quarter. And on for each quarter, he would pick one kid that was, like, awesome and would get this, like, it was literally just a wooden star that he spray painted gold. But, like, you know, when you're 8, you're like, I need that star.
Okay.
Right. I got it on the fourth 9 weeks. So, like, because it was the last 9 weeks of school, I got to keep the Golden Star. And I still have it to this day.
Are you serious?
I'm that person that has a box you of random
something
stuff.
I can't remember what the other thing was, but you said something. You had something else.
Oh, I have all the stuff. I have all the stuff.
All the stuff.
But, like,
the keeper of,
like,
the things.
I'm just a very, like, I'm not one to keep just random stuff all over the place in my house. Like, my house is very neat and, like, organized.
When I FaceTime you, your house is very clean, but I can't even show you my house.
I can't live in the clutter, but, like, but I do keep, like, sentimental things. So, like, I have just, like, a box of, like, things from elementary school or high school or whatever. And the Gold Star is in there.
Oh.
And I, like, I just remember, you know, having those little things that you look forward to. It's literally a gold wooden star, and I thought it was, like, amazing. And then today, if I did that, these kids would be like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
Oh. Like, yes. Am I supposed to, like ninja star chuck it at someone? Like,
Naruto.
Like,
Naruto.
But it's like, the expectations have changed, too. And, like, these kids, like, we were talking about this in another episode, how, like, some of the entitlement is, like,
that's
insane.
Where I thought you were going is
because
I think that if you did that now, there'd be teachers or kids that would come and say, well, what about me? What do I get?
What do I get? Yeah.
Right? And then because I think that it's okay to point out a student and be like, you're doing an awesome job. Right. It's okay that those kids don't get something in that moment.
Right.
We've got a problem in society
with
instant gratification.
Yes. No.
Right. So I think that that's awesome that, like, yeah. You put one kid out there, you're doing a great job, because when I was a kid, if I saw that, if I didn't get it, I'd reflect on myself. Like, what am I doing not get it? What do I need to change? Now all those kids would be like, where's mine? What about me?
Well, that's
what
how
do I get? He got a star. Like, can I have a piece of candy?
And they do that, though, because, like, we use bear badges at our school for individual, like, you know, just
call
outs and
stuff. I want one of those
stuff.
Bear badges.
I'll bring you one. But, like, it's just literally a slip of paper that, you know, has a little bear badge on it, and they put their name on it. They put it in a raffle, and at the end of the week, we pull, you know, winners for, like, a choice from a prize bucket or whatever. And, like, I'll pass out a bear badge. Let's say, like, Becca's sitting and reading quietly. I'll pass a bear badge out and go, like, Rebecca, I really like how you're sitting quietly and staying on task.
Thanks.
And then I'll
go
back
to
my desk. Yeah, like, what about me? I'm reading, too. I'm like, okay, I didn't say your name, did I? No.
Right.
So, mind
your
business.
What's so interesting is that's how it was supposed to start. Like, those kinds of rewards were supposed to be a, hey, if you're not being recognized, what are you doing differently? Like, are you following directions? Are you? And now it's just turned into this gimme, gimme, gimme kind of thing.
Yeah,
and that's just awful.
And it's, you know, it's just like it's creating like a monster that we're going to have a hard time with when, especially when these kids grow up and they're like, you know, going into the workforce and they want that gimme, gimme, gimme and not.
It's not there.
Yeah, it's not there.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, you know, those little things that, you know, we lived for when we were kids and now it's changed. And I hate to be like that when I was in school person, but like, you know.
When I was in school. What I think is so interesting that I've noticed is, you know, you see like the older generations who are so down on younger generations because they don't work as hard or they don't do whatever. They don't do whatever, but it's the same generations that are like, well, did my kid get a trophy? Did my kid get whatever? And I think people don't realize how, you know, problems and temperament and attitudes that people have as adults and as employees and workers starts when you're young. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Man, this is what I don't like is that when we were kids, if you failed, you failed. If you failed, you failed. Your teacher didn't have to give you a minimum. Somebody sent me a story, said that a teacher, matter of fact, no, we do the we started a new series on board teachers called Admin Made Me Do It. And one of the things that an admin made a teacher do, a kid had a 23% in their class, in her class, and the principal told her to bump his grade up to a 70. Y'all, this is crazy. This is insane. And she was like, he has a 23. Why would bump his grade up all the way to a 70? And she was like, well, we can't technically fail him because it negates what he did learn. Ma'am, he didn't learn nothing. He got a 23. Like, what? Our teachers would have never.
No, I've heard.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard the same stories of teachers saying, like, the minimum that they can give a kid it's is like 60%. Like a 50%
or a 60%. Yeah.
And I posted something on my stories once about how I give zeros. If you did 0% of the work, you get a zero.
Yeah, I agree.
And I got some lashback from it from people. Well, what happens when they're 10 assignments in and they haven't done it? They got a lot of work to do then, don't they?
Right.
Like, we cannot teach kids that you can do nothing and get something.
Because that's people's justification for it is, well, a 50, they're like, there's no need to give a zero because a 50 is still an F, and it makes it harder for them to bring their grade up if you give them a zero. Good, because that's incentive. Do your work in the first place. Because it's a difference between if you come in and one day you just decide, like, I don't feel like doing this, and you get a zero, as opposed to every single day you come in and you refuse to do anything and you get a zero, you deserve to fail.
And I made a lot of I made a lot of videos on that mentality because, you know, when you get it like a zero instead of a 50, right? Like, you can still do an assignment and still fail, you know? Right. So, like, for me,
well, that's not fair to the kids that actually tried but and also, they failed.
I think a big problem is the taboo on summer school or repeating a grade because, you know, for me, like, I don't see that as an ultimate punishment kind of thing. If someone is not able to bring their grade up enough that they have to repeat a grade, it's because they're not going to be able to thrive in the next class.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a prerequisite and you just pass a kid on because you don't want to hurt their feelings, how are they supposed to be able to manage themselves or even thrive in the slightest bit if you just drop them in the next class where they didn't learn the basics?
Well, they're passing them because not the politics or whatever behind it, but they're passing them because they don't want to look like they're a failing school. It's the same reason when we write a kid up, they go in and delete it because the district doesn't want particular schools to have a certain amount of write-ups. That is ridiculous.
Can we even talk about how, like, okay, I don't know how it was for you guys in school, but, like, when I was in school, I genuinely cared about the grades that I got, and I, like, you know, an F to me would have been devastating. I remember when I was in eighth grade, and I've been very open about how I struggled learning math, and, like, it took me a longer time to understand math, and I enjoyed learning it, but, like,
me either.
It just took me a long time. So, like, when I was,
I said, I still ain't learned math.
Oh, I miss that.
Or geography.
But when I was in eighth grade, I got my first, like, C ever. And I had never gotten a C before then. And I, like, I'm not one of those kids that goes to school and, like, just, you know, can fly by and get A's. I had to work hard for my grades.
Right.
And, like, I went home and cried because I was so devastated that I had gotten a C. And, like, today, our kids, like, it just seems like, you know, there's, like, a handful that do care. And then there's, like, the rest of them are like, nah, I got an F, oh well.
Yeah,
and it's like, no big deal.
And you give them a chance to redo the assignment.
Right.
I give kids a chance to redo the assignment.
And they don't do it.
Nah, it's okay. I just take the zero.
Yes.
They don't care at all.
I had a student this year who turned in, got a 20%, and I said, hey, buddy, how about we redo this? When do I have to redo it? Well, you can do it before school. You can do it at recess, lunch, or after school. It'll be an unpreferred time. I'll take the 20. I'll say, oh, now I'll make the choice for you because that ain't happening.
Right. You're going to take this test again. I had a kid that made a 6. I was like, there's no, I said, my daughter could come in. She's 4 and scribble on this paper and make better than a 6. You could have made better than a 6 if you would have went all the way down and marked C. I said, you taking this again. And she did not want to take it again. I'm like, you made a 6. And there's a difference between a kid making a 6 who genuinely does not understand and a kid who you know has the capability to make an 80 or an 85. You made a 6 because you ain't feel like taking this test, but you're gonna do it again because I know you can do better than a 6.
And I want to clarify, I'm not trying to say like getting a C is bad. It's like, it's whatever, you know, it's that student's like work ethic and ability, because to some students a C is amazing, and I'm happy for that student. But like, you know, for me, I worked really hard and I you know, I was an AB student, and so like that was a devastating blow to me. But like, you know, it's what you said. It's, you know, your student's ability levels. And I know when a kid is slacking off and not trying and just getting an F for no reason. And when a kid is genuinely trying their best and gets a C. Like, there's a difference between those things. And today, it's like these kids like really don't care.
It's almost like they know we have to pass them or something.
I'm well, sure
we,
they
we're
do.
Allowing, we're allowing kids to make like they know. Adult decisions.
Right. It's almost like they know, like, oh, they got to pay. They can't fail me. Because kids talk to each other. Like, they know, like, the kids also know which admin at your school is not going to do anything when they get in trouble and which admin they need to be scared of because they're going to do something. Like, literally, a kid got in trouble. I don't hardly ever call admin because for what? But the one time that I did have to call admin came and pretty much justified to the child why she was disrespectful to me. So I looked at him and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna let you handle it from here. Cause at that point I was like, this is so disrespectful to justify what the child is doing when it was clearly disrespecting me in front of the entire class. Yeah, the child was clearly disrespecting me in front of the entire class. So I walked back in the classroom. One of the kids was like, oh, that's the principal that's out there. Oh, he ain't gonna do nothing. He's just gonna talk to her and then he's gonna send her back to class. They like, he's a nice principal. He ain't gonna do nothing. They know which principal they ain't gonna.
Or like the kids, even the, like how we were saying, like kids aren't afraid of authority like anymore. Like I literally had a student who would go to the principal's office and then like another student would get sent up for like doing the same thing with that kid. And, you know, he would be afraid. And the other kid would go, oh, don't be afraid. You don't be scared of her. Like she's not gonna do anything. And I'm like, shut up, like no, I want him to have a healthy fear of that principal because like otherwise
a healthy just gonna, fear gonna, I love that you had
no, yeah that's a great that's word a,
it is
I
you should that's I'm really sorry but like word. I should my students fear. Should have a healthy fear of me I'm their friend. I'm gonna be there for them if they need me, but you're not gonna come up in my classroom and disrespect me or this school, any adult in my school, and they know that from day one. So it, I mean, no, you're not gonna
know
do that.
Somebody watching gonna be like, that's just not right. The kids shouldn't be scared of you. You'd probably
they should be
don't
afraid of
teach.
Disappointing me.
Right. But they should have a healthy,
I think that healthy fear.
Right.
Healthy
I'm not fear. Like they're not terrified of me. You can ask any of them.
But they're
but
afraid
I'm saying
to upset
they should
you.
Be afraid to upset and you. Disappoint me. Absolutely.
That's how it should be for all kids with all adults.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. But the disrespect.
But
was
we
prevalent.
Know times have changed, and you know it's vastly different now than it was when we were kids, or even, you know, I want to say even 10 years ago.
Right.
Like even when we weren't kids anymore. But like, you know, tell us in the comments, what do you think is different from when you were in school to now? Because I know we have like a variety of age ranges that watch the podcast, so I'd be interested to see what you guys have to say. But thank you so much for watching this episode. I hope it was kind of, you know, fun to listen to our school stories and what we went through. But make sure that you guys check us out on all of our social medias and check out our merch. We have that launched finally. So you can go to shop.boardteachers.com and grab that. And we will see you next time.
Bye, best friends.
Bye, lovelies.